The word cabaret evokes so many images, singers dressed to the nines in elegant nightclubs or dark, intimate rooms, cover charges and two-drink minimums. What it doesn't evoke is college dormitories, dining halls, and 9 a.m. classes. But for the past 8 summers, aspiring singers have gone to New Haven, Connecticut, to attend a sort of cabaret boot camp, the International Cabaret Conference at Yale. Jeff London decided to check it out.
Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
For the past 30 years, Irv Rabel has come to the cabaret almost every night. He's been a club owner in New York, he coaches singers, and he's artistic director of the Cabaret Conference. Rabel says cabaret may be a rarefied medium, but it can also be deeply emotional.
The intimacy of it, I think, is the most important part. The fact that unlike any other genre in the entertainment world, you actually go into a room where you go out of there feeling like you know the person, you know something about them, they have touched your heart.
Learning how to effectively touch the heart may be the central goal of the 9-day conference, but the 38 students also take classes in repertoire, hair, makeup, clothing, sound, lighting, and marketing. Their ages range from 16 to 66, and they come from all over the United States and around the globe. On a drizzly July afternoon in the dorm's basement, Irv Rabel introduces the faculty and students to one another.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone. We're here from all over, as far away as Australia and Israel this year.
One of the Australians is a tiny dynamo with a big voice named Nikki Aitken.
My training has been in classical, jazz, and musical theatre. And cabarets just kind of seem to be the obvious choice to be able to take all the different kinds of repertoire and put it into one show.
That evening, in the first rehearsal, Nikki struts her stuff.
Something has got to start, I'm ready to be loved.
And all across the Yale campus, singers are hunkered down with some of the best musical directors in the business to prepare for their first presentations to the faculty, which includes Laurel Massey, an original member of Manhattan Transfer, and Tony Award-winning actress Faith Prince. The next morning, student Harold Sanditon performs his unique take on a Beatles song. Faith Prince likes it, but sees room for improvement.
I need you to not close your eyes. I feel like you're closing your eyes on the most important contact.
Okay.
And you've done your homework. Your homework is done. I don't want to see that.
Okay.
I just want you to do it simply. You know exactly what you're doing. Start again.
Think of what you're saying.
At age 55, Harold Sanditon has traveled a long way, literally and figuratively, to come to Yale.
I was an investment banker, and then I became a theater producer for 20 years in London, and I gave that up 3 years ago to start singing, which is what I wanted to do in the very first place, but I never had the confidence.
Canadian Lindsay Sutherland Bowl has come a long way, too. She trained in opera, but changed her mind right in the middle of an audition.
I stopped singing in the middle of the aria, and I said, I'm very sorry. I don't want to sing Pamina. I don't want to sing Mozart. I don't want to sing opera. As a matter of fact, I never want to sing another operatic note for the rest of my life. And I walked out of that audition, and I walked out of my operatic career and into my career as a cabaret singer.
How can he ignore my vain condition?
Over the course of a week of 14-hour days, the teachers work hard to rid Bowl of some of her operatic habits, a tendency to use broad acting gestures. Today, music director Alex Rybeck is her coach.
I don't think it needs a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Simplicity. You're a very rich cake. Your cake does not require a lot of icing.
Okay.
Your face is very expressive. Your voice is very expressive. The more stuff you do, the less we get you. It becomes a mask.
What is
it? Just simple questions.
How could he ignore?
Yeah.
How could he ignore my available condition?
Legitimate question.
Why these Victorian views?
Across campus, Nikki Aitken's preparing for the final concert, singing a tune Barbara Streisand made famous.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter.
She says she's learned a lot about focus over the past week.
Finding specificity and finding truth and finding ways to make it about the audience.
But Harold Sanditon says it's not just about digging deeper into ballads.
Probably the best thing I've learned is that songs that you think are really serious, you can find comedy in them, you can turn them. You can make something that nobody has ever sung as anything but a serious ballad, you can make it into a comic tour de force.
Me and Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones.
On the last night of the conference, all the students have 3 minutes to show what they've learned in front of a paying audience. The concert is called Cabaret Stars of Tomorrow. Lindsay Sutherland Bowl performs in a striking red bustier, but with a newfound stillness.
I'm a stranger here myself. How can he ignore my available condition? Why these Victorian views?
And Nikki Aitken focuses and just hits it out of the park.
He's got a rain on my parade.
Afterwards, teacher Faith Prince is verklempt.
I think I've learned tenfold, a hundredfold, millionfold, even more than these students have. It's rocked my world, this conference. So I think they did incredibly, deliciously wonderful.
And who knows? Maybe some of them will be cabaret stars of tomorrow. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New Haven.
You can hear complete performances for the Cabaret Conference at our website, npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.